Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
Kelly, I need a therapist
today. I know, you poor thing.
I had a friggin' breakdown this morning. Really, it's just been too much. My computer stuff is a disaster. It's just, I don't like being attached to data, but it's amazing how much we rely on it. Six years worth of stuff gone. 6 hours with tech support, Microsoft, nothing.
And that in itself is just the most frustrating process. So it's like, yeah.
Just the worst customer service, terrible. Mm. It just was, and it's fine. Like, there was a part of me this morning, I just said, I don't want that kind of communication anymore with people anyway.
Right.
What happened to just picking up the phone and calling people? So anyway, I'm not going to get overwhelmed by that, but it is in the throes of it. Christopher is trying to take care of it for me today,
sweet.
Even though he's on company time and working.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll cut him a break. And then bloody noses, 4 to 6 a day, every day, to the point where I had
you
to call. Yes. Like, all of a sudden I could just be sitting there and just gushing. Like, I thought I had to get cauterized because of
the fires.
I'm already sensitive. I have a compromised nasal tissue anyway.
Oh my God.
From old days of bad
I feel like
use.
I want to, like, bring you back to my house, put you in my bed,
know,
and, like, just take care of you and give you some soup.
Right. And yet, when I look at the glass half full, my life is wonderful.
You're overwhelmed.
You know? So, I can't. That was my big complaint. We had a lovely holiday party at the house yesterday because my sister and my younger niece, they came in from Jamaica on Sunday. My other niece I got to see on Friday, who came in from Hong Kong, who's off to Arizona.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's my daughter and her boyfriend and my ex-husband. So, he came over and his ex-girlfriend. So, we had a lot of exes. It was the house of ex. The ex house. That's me.
But not that kind of ex.
No.
Right, exactly. That would have been more exciting.
It was very fun, though. But, you know, till like 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. Wow. I'm exhausted. 3.5 hours of sleep. But here I am.
Oh, my God.
I'm a little hyper. I can't wait for our expert today. He's going to probably help me.
I'm gonna calm you down.
Yes, for sure. How are you, honey?
So, as you can see, I'm looking at you with two eyes. Thank God my eye infection is cleared. It took 16 days. 16.
It is all better, actually. Yeah. I'm so self-absorbed. I'm just so freaking
don't worry. Nobody
today.
Noticed.
No, it's so much better.
Which I'm happy about because, you know, you think that everyone's like thinking about it off on their alone time. No one cares. So, so thank God. So
always
I feel
gorgeous.
Like a human. Oh, stop. You're so cute. I feel like a human again. So I'm excited about that. I want to say a shout out to Joanne, who is my best friend's coworker who listens to the show weekly. And I was so touched by that I just wanted to hug her and give a virtual shout out hug. So,
but what does she do?
She works in my best friend's law office.
Okay.
And she like tunes in every week.
Oh,
I know.
Yay.
Isn't that
I
sweet?
Love that. We
I
do
know.
Have some regular followers and a lot of people who tune in late, but you know what? Better late than never.
It's true.
Show up for the party and we'll be there.
But yeah, no, everything is good. I have a quick, really funny story. So David is driving and Remy, who is my 8-year-old, was in the back seat and telling David how to drive and no, speed up and get in that lane and no, slow down, now get in that lane. And David turns around and says, Remy, you are the worst backseat driver. Like, come on, I'm just doing the best I can. And Remy says, well, Dad, you know, if I was giving you an Uber rating, you probably would only get 1 or 2 stars.
Oh, God.
Isn't
love that
hilarious?
Kid.
I know.
And he probably said it with a straight face.
100% straight face. Like, it was not funny to him. He was 100% serious. I'd probably only give you 1 to 2 stars, Dad.
Jeez. Do you take Uber with him on a regular basis?
Sometimes. Not on a regular basis, but sometimes. But I do write down funny things he says because it kills me. It's hilarious.
It is hilarious. And then you have that picture of him on
Mulholland Drive. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, he looks like the next genius, like ready to inspire himself.
Looks like Jesus. He won't let me cut his hair. He will not let me cut his hair. I'm not kidding. Like, I literally, he's like, Mom, it's my hair and it's my decision. That's what he says. And I'm like, you're right. So,
okay.
Yeah.
The kid's got a strong mind.
Both awesome. Of my kids are like strong-willed.
Well,
so.
It's good to look in the mirror, isn't it?
Yes. I'm not that bad. They're probably
worse.
No, you
are actually one of the most flexible, open-minded people I know. You're so cute. You're like the most curious person I know.
Definitely, for sure. Yeah. I think Remy gets the curiosity probably from me too.
Just wait another 10 years; it all gets jaded. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, actually, that is a really good question. Before we move on, but do you feel happier now than you did, let's say, 10 years ago?
That's a great question. I'll have to ponder. I would say my immediate reaction is yes in most ways.
Okay.
And then no in some ways.
That makes sense.
Because I was a little bit more naive a while back. Yeah. I go back 20 years. You know, life is a little freer.
Yes.
I've gotten much more consumed with responsibility. Uh-huh. And so that's why I think this computer thing really took me down. Because like, oh, no, that's like my organization.
Sure.
And yet I'm really trying to breathe through it and just say, what the fuck? Right. Yes. It's okay.
Yes.
This is... people have lost their houses.
It's true.
You know? So I should complain about this. It really is trivial.
Yeah.
It's just hard. But yeah. How about you? Do you think life is better
now? I think it's better now. Yeah. Than it was. Yeah. I just feel more, I don't know, less self-conscious. I think 20s were hard.
Mm.
I don't know. But, you know, next month I'll be 40. So.
I know.
Isn't that nuts?
That's scary.
Tell me about it.
It is. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know. So anyway, moving on. Let's talk about ADHD. Our expert last week was Dr. Thomas Brown. That was fascinating.
Smart but stuck.
Yes.
Really highlighted for us to some of the misconceptions about ADHD and, you know, how you really deal with that. And most, he said, to just be curious and interested in understanding it.
Yes.
And that's a big part of the problem. Is that people like just go, oh, ADHD, I don't know what that is. Put it in the closet.
Well, right. A close friend of mine, when I told Tim probably about 5 years ago that Remy had ADHD, he goes, is that a real thing?
Oh, geez.
No, but really? I mean, he was serious. He really thought it was like, you know, the tooth fairy.
Obviously no longer your friend. No.
I had to, I schooled him. I took that as an opportunity to be like, no, this is a legitimate thing. And, you know, but yeah, it's kind of interesting. So, yeah, I thought that was super fascinating. Very, very smart guy. And I liked his associate as well. Dr. Ryan Kennedy was his name.
Yeah, I want to call him Ryan Reynolds.
Right, I think you were Ryan in like Kennedy. Dreamland. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So moving on, because we are so excited to have today Doug Hilton, registered clinical counselor in private practice in Victoria, British Columbia, in Canada. Woohoo! That's where my parents got married and met.
Oh.
Well, they met first and then got married. Okay. He has been working in the field since 1992. Over time, he has specialized in working with children, teens, adults, and seniors in small communities and bigger centers. Doug is also a certified Qigong instructor and practitioner. Doug and Master Chia have co-authored a book entitled EMDR and the Universal Healing Tao. The book teaches people about the connections between depression, anxiety, trauma, and addictions, and describes a new self-help technique to address those issues. Welcome, Doug.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
We are so excited. And as you can tell by listening to the introduction, I'm in a little mini state of trauma today. So if there's anything that you can help me with, I am all ears.
Oh, I'm just chomping at the bit. That's great.
But more importantly, before we go there, because I could make it all about me, but I won't. We really want to make it about you today. Tell us, first of all, we know what EMDR is, but I bet you a lot of our listeners have no idea what that is. So please explain.
Oh, sure. So EMDR is normally referred to that way because the full name for it's quite long, but just so you hear it, it's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. You can't say that every time. But EMDR is a specialized counseling technique that was stumbled onto, really, like most good things, you know. It was completely discovered by accident about 30 years ago by Dr. Francine Shapiro in the United States. And basically what Dr. Shapiro stumbled onto was how to kind of kickstart the emotional processing system when it gets stuck on things that are too big or too awful or too weird, and help to kind of grind through that emotion and put it away so that it feels like it's over. You still remember it and you still have the same maybe opinion about it, but you don't feel like it's haunting you all of the time. And so in most common circles, everyday circles, people wouldn't hear of EMDR, but most counselors have heard of it. And it's at this point spread all over the world, and lots of research behind it. And even though it doesn't look like it should work, because it's often, for example, eye movement back and forth while you're thinking about something bad that happened and you still feel upset about it, it doesn't make sense why that should do something and yet it really does. Mm-hmm. There are other ways that it can be done as well. It can be done by, if people can't do it with the eyes, they can do it through tapping on the hands. They can do it through snapping around the ears. There's even a machine that does all three as options. And it's become really famous, especially for the really big traumas, like, you know, war veterans and natural disaster victims, things like that.
Yeah, I've been certified in it as well. I find it fascinating. It's the whole concept behind it is the alternating stimulation to the opposite hemispheres in the brain, and somehow that like releases the emotional cellulite. Is that kind of how you think of it?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, it can be very powerful. Oh my goodness! It's that core belief that people have about themselves that's attached to the actual event that causes the trauma. But I am so intrigued by you took this to a whole different level. Now, can you please explain what Qigong is and how that connects?
Okay, but wait, before he even goes there, I just have a question really quickly. So I understand the machines because I've gotten EMDR with like a underneath my thighs and it kind of like vibrated back and forth. But if you don't use the machines, are you actually like using your hands directing patients? Is that kind of how it works?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Without the machine, you would just use your hand back and forth, which actually can be pretty hard on the tendons after a while. And that's part of the reason why the machines become pretty popular too.
That makes sense. Okay. Thank you. Just wanted to clear that up. Okay. So yeah, how is Qigong connected to all this?
Or what is Qigong? First of all, you know, Christopher, I wish he could listen to this show because he had a master Qigong instructor years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Do tell.
So most people have heard about yoga. It doesn't seem like Qigong is as well known right now. But in some circles, it's still quite well known, and it refers to another ancient practice. Qi is energy. In our case, bioelectromagnetic energy in the body. But there's also energy all around us. And then gong just basically means work. So it's energy work. Mm. And under that umbrella, that general umbrella, that can include a lot of different kinds of practices, but they're all related to Chinese medicine principles. So they're focusing on the internal organs and the channels, the energy channels that are moving from them. They call them meridians. So there's some practices where you're better done while you're sitting down, some while you're standing, some while you're moving, sort of like Tai Chi, some on the ground looking kind of like yoga. There's some energy healing without touch, energy healing with touch. There's quite a variety of things that fit under that general category.
Exciting. Can you actually give us a small little demonstration exercise with Kelly and I here in studio just sitting? Is there something that we could do that would move our energies around in a positive way?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Oh, cool.
So if you're just sitting, then please put your one palm on top of your belly button, your navel.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then take the other hand and put it on top of the other. So you've got palm on top of palm.
Over belly button.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Got it.
And then breathe with your lower abdomen so you can feel your belly button going back and forth rather than up and down. So when you breathe in, your belly button goes out. And when you breathe out, it comes back in. And gentle, full breaths, but not straining, just getting some air in that area of your body. And smile. Just a little smile, sort of Mona Lisa style, up with the corners of your mouth and your eyes. Focus where your hands are. Let your joints relax. Let your shoulders drop, your elbows drop. Your eyes soften. Just let everything go as limp as it can. The chair is holding you up. You don't need to put any effort into it. As you continue to breathe back and forth and focus where your hands are, you might feel your hands starting to get warm, and that's normal. And just let the dust settle, let everything slow down. And that's the whole thing. When we do any Qigong exercise, we always end up in that position, focusing there.
Deborah's asleep.
I am. That's all that I needed.
That was really
nice. Can
you
come for dinner? I'm like so relaxed.
It's so nice.
It is nice.
It was really nice. I like that a lot.
Right?
Is it always the belly button, or are there different points where you put your hands?
We have various practices that will focus on different things. Qigong will have, for example, practices that focus entirely on the tendons. They call that tendon neigong. And then there's other practices that are focusing on particular internal organs, other practices that are using the bones, bone marrow neigong, and sexual organs. There's a variety of different practices, but we end up there. When you had your hands there, did you feel warmth eventually?
Started to feel warmer, especially the hand that was actually on my belly button, more so than the top hand.
Me too.
Yeah, and you might think, well, that's just because my hands are near my body and I've got body heat and that sort of thing. But you can experiment later and put your hands in various places. You won't get that same reaction there. If we put a thermal imager and pointed it at your body, we'd see that there's a big energy spot right where you had your hands. It's like a furnace of the body.
Oh.
And so the old Qigong phrase 5,000 years ago says, where the mind goes, the qi follows.
Mm.
So when you focus there, then you're bringing energy to that spot. It's kind of adding fuel to that fire.
Oh.
And so then you start to feel the warmth coming up through your hands. The spiraling energy is getting bigger and stronger and moving through the body, and you relax.
Now, okay, I just want to be clear. So Qigong, is that I sometimes see people in the woods and they're doing these very slow movements, very calculated, slow movements with their hands outstretched and things like that. Is that the same thing?
That can be a branch of Qigong. Now, there are about 1,000 different kinds.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Some practices will focus more on those sorts of movements.
Uh-huh.
Others will focus more on internal meditation like we just did.
I see.
And the particular system that I study with Master Mantak Chia, the Universal Healing Tao, we do all of that. So that might be some of it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference between Qigong and Tai Chi?
There isn't one. We use Tai Chi in our practice, and so it's a moving form.
Mm.
So it's under the umbrella in our system of Qigong, and it's the moving style.
Got it.
As opposed to the seated style you just did.
I see.
Okay, so I've been going to an acupuncturist because I have had some really bad back issues he's just been amazing. Yesterday he told me I have terrible circulation because my feet are always cold and I'm not getting enough blood into my feet. And he told me to sit with, when I watch TV at night, if I'm watching TV, to put my feet in warm water.
Oh.
But that's going to heat up, make the circulation go there better. Are there other kinds of things I can do with Qigong that could help me?
Okay, so when you feel your feet right now, are they cold?
Well, Doug, that requires me to take my shoes off.
But I thought you were always hot.
I am always hot in my head. My head's always hot. Uh-huh.
Okay.
My upper body is always hot.
Uh-huh.
So my feet are, I would say they're tepid right now.
Mine are cold.
They're not. Yours are cold.
Mine are always cold. I have poor circulation also, so this is a great question.
Okay, so, help us.
The reason I asked you that is because sometimes just doing a simple meditation like we did for a little longer than we did, say a couple of minutes, would eventually create that spiraling energy that would go all the way to the feet.
Oh.
All of the practices in the Qigong system and all of the practices in Chinese medicine make the energy move and then the blood move.
Mm. That makes sense.
So where the mind goes, the qi follows. Where the qi goes, the blood follows. Yeah. And so they will all do that. But then if you really wanted to get energy moving in your feet, Tai Chi would be probably the practice of choice.
Oh. So let me understand. So did you start to work with Master Chia and then became certified and then you kind of got together and wrote this book? Or give us the timeline, how that came about.
So I learned EMDR in 2001 and started using it a lot. And then in 2004, I started studying with Master Chia. I had been reading his materials and watching his videos for years prior to that. But I saw him first in San Francisco. And then I was just in a position at the time to go straight to Thailand when I heard about his training center right after that. I think maybe 2 weeks later, I was in Thailand. And there for my first seven-week stint. And honestly, I never talked to him for the first little while. Master Chia, in our circle of Qigong, he's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's written 40-some books and as many DVDs, and he has they created the World Qigong Master Award just for him, and he's won it twice.
Wow.
And so I was a little intimidated. But one day, when we did one of the meditations, typically what would happen is at the end of them, it kind of looks like Jonestown. We're all out on the floor. But I was too anxious in those days. I was just new at all of this, and so I couldn't calm down that much. So I would typically just tiptoe outside and wait for everybody to wake up so we could go for lunch. And so there I was this one day, and he comes out because he's awake, of course. And now I'm realizing I've got to talk to this guy. I'm the only person here. So he comes out, and I finally worked up the courage to say something. And I just said what was on my mind, which was that meditation you just did with us, which they call one of the fusion practices, kind of reminds me of EMDR. And he teaches all over the world, teaches counselors all the time. I'd assumed he knew what I was talking about, but he didn't have a clue. So, and just for the benefit of people listening who don't know about EMDR, typically when we take training in EMDR, to this day, because it was discovered by accident, we don't really get a clear description of why it works or how it works.
Mm-hmm.
The description that you gave earlier, Dr. Deborah, I think is about as close as they get. There's mm-hmm. this alternating stimulation that's loosening things up, something like that. So anyway, when I explained to him, just in a couple of sentences like we did here, about the alternating stimulation, why you're thinking about something bad that happened, he quickly said, oh, you blank out the emotions. Mm. I thought, huh, how do you know that? Because we don't know that. And then he said, you should come to my house and do that with me tonight. I'd love to see how that works. And I didn't expect that either. I thought maybe he'd be, you know, mm-hmm. above that sort of thing. But anyway, he was fine with it. So I went to his house, and everybody has something to work on. We all get overwhelmed once in a while.
Sure.
And so he picked this topic. No.
No. Not like losing everything.
Room, right? Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, of course.
So he picked his topic, and then we started to work on it. It was a huge topic. I thought, this is kind of a worry for me, because I thought, typically EMDR is done in hour and a half sessions, and you need at least a few of them to put away most topics, even a simple single incident trauma. But this was a really big thing. And I thought, oh, I'm going to be coming back here quite a few times. I hope I can get this done before I go back to Canada. I don't want to kind of leave them half cooked over here.
Mm-hmm.
But when we started the practice, it was over in minutes. I thought, that's not right. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, either we missed something or I don't know what. So I kept going. But no, it was done. It was done in minutes.
Wow.
So then the next day at one of the meals, he called me over and he said, you know, that EMDR, that works, hey? But it's still in the organs, you know. And I didn't know mm-hmm. what he meant by that. Mm-hmm. But he started to show me, and sure enough, he was right about that. So that led to years of him and I having these collaborative discussions and experimenting mm-hmm. with combining EMDR with Qigong, trying to get clear about how it works, why it works, and how to make it better. So we combined it first with one of his, the first practice you learn in that system, which is called the Inner Smile Meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just basic in the beginning. Just do EMDR, now do the Inner Smile. I think we made a CD that's still on his website. I think it's still there. Anyway, over the years, we started to kind of merge the two. And then more than 3 years ago, I was with him in Boston. He was training people there. And every opportunity we had, we would sit down and talk about the last touches of how to make this new practice. And then I, you know, went away and wrote some of the book, and we collaborated on that, and now it's done.
Wow.
That's incredible. That's fascinating. So can you give us like a rundown? So a client calls you and says, I lost my son in a car accident, and I was driving, and my son was killed. And I can't sleep, I can't eat, I think about it all the time, mm-hmm. I have terrible memories. Basically, the classic signs of post-traumatic stress disorder has lasted over a month, and I can't function. I don't want to get in the car. In fact, I won't drive. Every time I see a child, I get overwhelmed, I'm tearful, and I'm just beside myself. How can you help me?
Mm-hmm. Right. So people will come in and want to work on something like that. And then I'll have to assess what they're ready to do. With traditional EMDR, we would do some assessing for dissociative problems and things like that, because some people just didn't seem to respond that well to it. And in this practice, I don't do that so much, but I'm more interested in how healthy they are, how ready they are to do the work, whether or not they know how to relax. Because many people that I see who have been traumatized, it seems like they don't know how to relax. They didn't know how before the trauma happened. And in some ways, I see that as a contributing factor because it just makes them that more easily overwhelmed. So I might start with someone if they're really unhealthy and a little wary of this kind of thing and they're not having an easy time relaxing. I might just start with that, just some basic relaxation principles and start working up from there. But others can jump right into it. There are those people who will say, you know, I'm ready to do whatever. I don't care how weird it looks. Just if it works, that's all I care about. And then I might just jump right in.
So you jump in with the EMDR in that protocol, but then when and how do you weave in the Qigong?
So now the new practice, which we call Taoist Emotional Recycling, and that's T-E-R, even though it sounds like it should be D-E-R. Taoist is spelled with a T. That new practice is a melding of the two. So it doesn't look that much like EMDR anymore, although we definitely have to give homage to the treatment technique that started the new practice. So, for example, the back and forth stimulation in EMDR is the only kind that we use in traditional EMDR. In the new practice with the eyes, we also do spiraling, which is a different process altogether. And we work on the organs more, and it's more designed to be a self-help practice. So I will just, with a lot of people, tell them, you know, I could give you a lot of theory about what this is supposed to do and why and all that if you want to hear it. But otherwise, I'd just rather get right into it. And then we're going to stop many times every couple of minutes as we do the practice anyway. And you can ask questions as you go. And most people opt for that option.
So just as a reminder, if you just tuned in, we are talking with Doug Hilton. He's a registered clinical counselor in private practice. And he wrote the book EMDR and the Universal Healing Tao. Wow, this is absolutely fantastic. So, okay, and so your book, so it can be for the layperson. You don't have to have a background in all this, correct?
Right. I actually tried really hard to just write it for everybody, which is consistent with the Qigong tradition. If you read any of other Master Xie's other books, you'll notice that it's written so anybody can read it. I've actually seen some feedback on the net that sort of criticized that, said, well, it wasn't written for professionals, but I really wanted anybody to be able to read this one.
That makes sense. I think that's super helpful.
Well, even us professionals like to read things in normal language.
Yeah, exactly.
I swear to God,
it's exhausting.
Out of school, I hate reading research papers. When we get that American psychologist, I open up like, this is so boring.
Yeah, exactly.
The abstract, the study, the just give me the meat, the bones
meat
of it,
potatoes,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness. What's up with this spelling Tao, but it's Tao? What's with the D and the T? Where did that come from?
Just tradition, as far as I know. That's the way they've always said it.
Interesting.
I guess coming from a Chinese tradition, maybe that's the way they pronounce the letters. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I want to know what Taoism has to say about depression, anxiety, trauma, and addiction, because I imagine it's extremely different from the Western view.
Yeah.
Mm. And I found it very helpful in my practice. If you want to call it scripture, I guess, of Taoism is the Tao Te Ching, Taoteching. And probably many people have seen it in bookstores. And if you've read any of it at all, you can see right away it's not written like a Bible. It's written more like a bunch of poems, really. Short stanzas, and they're talking about nature and following nature, using that as our guide. For example, water, you know, being a good role model in that. Yes, it can be very powerful, but doesn't do anything destructive or that extreme unless it absolutely has to. It just kind of generally flows. So, yes, the spiritual practice of Taoism has a lot to say about addiction, anxiety, trauma, depression, all those kinds of things. And it's talking a lot about lifestyle. I think it makes interesting comments about today's general lifestyle in that we probably go too fast. We push too hard, even when things are not going our way, that we put too much emphasis on things and grasping and striving rather than sort of moving at the flow of life.
And data.
And by doing that, pardon me?
And data.
Yeah.
Computer data. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. And I think most people can relate to that, but then have a hard time reconciling it, because societally, there seem to be a lot of messages telling us that we really need to keep going with that. If you're strong, if you're powerful, if you're good enough, you should be able to get everything you want and either go straight to it or go straight through it, whatever you need to do to get there. And so we were commenting probably for the first half of the book about how these things can develop, and also just trying to point out how many people will look at someone who is anxious or has trauma or is addicted and think, oh, I don't know how I could ever get there. But we're trying to make the point that actually all these little things that we do on a daily basis can walk us slowly in that direction without even noticing. And that's how many people end up in those states, is that they've been doing things that are working against their own basic nature for long enough now that it's made them vulnerable. And at a certain point, there's a tipping point. Sometimes it's a big event like a trauma, and sometimes it's just too many little events that haven't been dealt with properly while the person is sort of going in the direction of pursuing other things and ignoring those little things.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry, you have a very meditative
voice.
She's I was in rhythm, and I was like, oh, did he stop talking? This was almost like hypnotic.
You could do some like meditation tapes. You could.
You have that voice. You probably have.
Oh, thanks. I've tried, but I can't stand listening to my own voice.
I also love Canadian. There's a different way that people, you know, there's certain words that you say differently.
Like with the O.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
A. I don't know. I heard him say A, too. I love the A. So cute.
It'll come up, I'm sure.
So, okay, and then can you tell us, and, you know, you don't have to answer, I don't want to put you on the spot, but what drew you initially to EMDR and to be a counselor? And, I mean, was there something in your life where you felt like, you know, you wanted to, I don't know, work out, or did it just your interest with helping people over time? I'd love to hear more.
I grew up in southern Alberta, and small town Alberta, I don't know about north, but south, there's a certain lifestyle that revolves around, once you become an adult, smoking, drinking coffee, drinking a lot of beer, eating a lot of meat, and those kinds of things. And I was watching a lot of my friends and family members getting pretty sick. Mm-hmm. And my mother died when I was 18. And, and I was on this search to try to figure out, well, how does this happen? Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly don't want it happening to me. Mm-hmm. And so like many people, I went to university with the intention of figuring myself out. Mm-hmm. And I've been working on it ever since. It's a work in progress. But I was initially in for that reason. And then after grad school, when I went to start working in the field and get experience, I had to go up north, and I was working in small communities. And I don't know about other systems in other places, but here in Canada, they have separate systems. If you have depression or anxiety or something like that, you go to the mental health service. If you have an addiction, you go to another service. And if you have both, then either service will kind of banter you back and forth, saying, you have to finish that other issue first before we can be clear about what's left for us to deal with.
That sounds like Kaiser.
So people kind of bounce back and forth in the system. Are you relating to that in your area as well?
Yeah,
I was just saying that sounds like Kaiser. The healthcare, one of the biggest healthcare systems out here in the U.S., which they definitely, like, if you have this, you go to the psychiatrist. If you have this, you go to a therapist, and you get, like, two sessions. It was really not integrated or holistic at all.
Exactly. And then I would hear, no matter which service I worked in, and I've bounced around in various ones over time, is that this service, we deal with different populations. Whatever you think you knew from the last service, it's going to be different here. But in small communities, it wasn't different at all. In fact, the same people coming to the same service, the same individuals, but they were going to the mental health service when I was there because they had depression, and they were coming to the addiction service when they were talking about their alcohol problem, for example. And so I started to look at all of that and think, well, this is not very efficient. And it's, like you said, not holistic, not comprehensive. And of course, I started to notice over time as well that so much of what I was being asked to do focused in the head. like the brain is the answer to everything. But I'd hear it all the time from people, and you probably do as well. People would say, well, yes, I do have all these issues up in my head, but I've also got problems with my back. I've got problems with my feet. I've got problems with blah, blah, blah. And they seem to be connected. And I didn't know what to do with that stuff. So I was searching for something. And at one point, I just stumbled onto one of Master Chia's books when I was in Dawson Creek, BC, which is northern BC, and in a little teeny mall. I was surprised now to realize that one of his books was there. Tiny little bookstore. Anyway, took it home, didn't get it. But then when I moved down to the lower mainland, Vancouver area, I bought another book, and I got it home, and I thought, gee, the illustrations look familiar here. And it was Master Chia again. I didn't realize it when I bought the book, but one book was about a seated meditation, and the other one was about Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. So I just started to learn more deliberately from there. And I've just found it so helpful. I had chronic pain. I never made the connection at all. My mother passed away when I was 18, started getting sick when I was 14, and I had chronic pain when I was 14.
That's sad.
Never made the connection, wow. Right?
Right,
so,
in my body. Yeah.
And then I spent 23 years trying to figure out how to heal that. And the only way I was able to was, for me, what worked was going through the Universal Healing Tao system in Thailand.
Oh my gosh. Love wow. it. What a beautiful story. Yeah. Mm. Thank you for sharing that. So let's say somebody has that kind of trauma that I illustrated earlier, and doing EMDR. I've found myself to have mixed results with EMDR. I would imagine that you have much greater success now that you've added in the whole Qigong component to it. Have you seen a remarkable difference?
I'm really thrilled with the results. I mentioned when I did it with Master Chia, it took minutes. I don't get minutes with people, but it takes so much less time this way. Mm-hmm. We describe in the book about the back and forth processing being kind of like delete. Like if you're going to delete a file in a computer, you say delete file, and then it goes down to the trash bin, then you say empty recycle bin, and it spins around and out it goes. And so the analogy is that the back and forth processing is the delete function, going through positive and negative poles of the body, creating an alternating current, cut through whatever is heavy and thick and dark up there. And then the circling with the eyes in a spiral, that's the recycle kind of function. And that mm-hmm. recycling function seems to really speed up the process a lot. And it also seems to make it so quick that people don't relive things the way they do with traditional EMDR. For those people who have done it before, and I imagine you both have as well, that they typically get like a slideshow effect when they're doing the treatment. They can remember some snippets of things that happened in the process of the event that they're working on. Mm-hmm. But when we do the recycling, they don't. And usually they don't at all. And it's just moving too quickly, and they don't get as upset. They don't have to relive it all. And so it's just less painful. And because we've combined it with a couple of other Qigong practices called the Six Healing Sounds and the Microcosmic Orbit, I've just got more ways to be able to deal with emotions as they're coming up. So if someone does have an adverse reaction in some part of the process, maybe one organ really reacts strongly, I have other tools in my kit to bring out and be able to help them to calm down and keep going.
So, and how do you know if there's problems in certain organs? How does that exhibit?
It's really obvious. It's really obvious. But you have to go there to find out.
Okay.
When I was doing traditional EMDR, I never noticed anybody. Nobody ever said, gee, my liver hurts when we do this. But if I have people, for example, who have gone through something really traumatic, focus on, say, the heart. Different organs will react differently for different people. And there's a theory behind that I can explain as well. But they'll focus on the heart and start the eye movements there, putting the picture there now instead of in the head. Mm-hmm. And emotion will come up. If it's going to come up, it'll come up right away, and it won't be subtle. They'll know. And so the head can be completely clear, okay. And that's where we would traditionally stop with the EMDR. I think, well, we're all done. But when we get into the organs, boy, some of them really react strongly, and it's really clear that there's more work to be done.
And is your book, is it to help the person, is it like a self-help, or it's just a basic understanding and they need to see a clinical professional to do this work?
Well, we always put the provision at the beginning to say, you should probably see a professional when you do this kind of thing, because just to be on the safe side. But all of the practices in the Universal Healing Tao system, including this one, were designed to be ultimately a self-help practice mm-hmm. and not to be dangerous at all. And so some people might read the book and think, oh, I get it. I tried to make it as step-by-step and clear as I could so that they could just do that. It's just buy the book and start practicing and get some benefit from that. Maybe they might need a little question answered by contacting me, or maybe even one session online or in person, something like that. But some people might not at all. Others might need to do a practice with me or someone that I've trained in this process, so that they really feel like they've got a handle on it and feel confident they can do it on their own first. So it'll vary. But the ultimate hope is that people will be able to get it and just use it very quickly without having to keep coming to a therapist over and over to work on these things.
Sure.
The whole teach a man to fish thing.
Yes, right. Do you have many colleagues who are trained in this in the way that you practice, or is this kind of reasonably idiosyncratic for you and your inner group?
I've been just in the process now of starting to reach out to people and offer it as a teaching. And in fact, I'm just offering through my professional association now. And because the book came out last year, and I wanted to see what the response would be like first, and I wanted to see what kind of criticisms or concerns people might raise, and make sure that I was really ready to teach it properly to people. And so I'm hoping to spread it far and wide.
Well, let us know, because I'm
me too.
So
I'm interested.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'd love to boost that, because I found myself getting actually kind of disappointed in just the regular EMDR. So I don't even bring it up to patients as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. Where let's try this, because I don't know, people get kind of lost. I always felt like I needed something else to pat it with or to support it.
Right.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah, I feel still like traditional EMDR, wonderful as it is kind of lacking a context. So when I would present it to people, I'd do my best to say, this is, you're dealing with a traumatic issue here, and we can put these emotions away, and I have this technique. But ultimately, people would have questions, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't be able to answer a lot of them, which made it difficult to sell. You know, mm-hmm. why would that work? Mm-hmm. What's that got to do with anything? Whereas now I can. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I can kind of walk them in gently as well. So it's a little bit more of a step-by-step sales pitch, as opposed to let's completely drop what we're doing talk wise and mm-hmm. let's do this technique.
Sure. Yeah. Wow.
And a lot of people know when I talk about the organs, they just know. That's often the selling feature. You know, mm-hmm. yeah, I know. When I think about that issue, I can just feel it right here, you know, and they're pointing to an area, and then I can talk to them about how in Chinese medicine and the Qigong system, each of those organs is connected to different emotions. And so that would give some ideas about what they might be dealing with and why it's stuck there. And then people are often quite sold.
Can you give us a little bit about that? Like, sure. So if somebody is having problems in their stomach or they're constantly getting headaches, yeah, can you kind of give us a clue as to how that relates in Chinese medicine?
Sure. So each of the organs that we focus on, which are sort of the solid organs of the body, like the heart and the spleen, the lungs, the kidneys, sexual organs, the liver, they're the ones we focus on. We call them the yin organs. They're receiving energy. And each one of them is connected to different emotions, kinds of thoughts, attitudes. They affect us, according to Chinese medicine, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And so, for example, with headaches, sometimes people are looking for a problem in their head, but the kidney meridian goes all the way up to the base of the ears.
Mm-hmm.
It wiggles all the way down to the kidneys and wiggles all the way down the backs of the legs, down to the underneath the feet, right where you step. If you stand on tippy toes, and they call that kidney one, the bubbling spring point. So when the kidneys are in trouble, they pull tight like a muscle. All those organs do. And when they do, then it can squeeze that channel, or the channel can just get blocked anywhere along that path. So people might have problems with their feet, and it can be coming from their kidneys. They might mm-hmm. have headaches, and it can be coming from their kidneys. They might have ringing in their ears, and the same thing.
Sure.
Yeah, but the kidneys emotionally are connected when they're out of balance with things like fear and anxiety and stress.
Okay.
Whereas the liver is more connected to things like anger, frustration, jealousy, and envy.
Yep. Remember that.
So by the time we get through all the different organs, at least in theory, we've covered all of the different ways that the person could still be re-experiencing this event.
So interesting, because I consider myself pretty spiritual, same with Deborah, but I had this eye infection that lasted 15 days. It was like a conjunctivitis, a viral conjunctivitis. And I have this spiritual teacher, and she said, you know, is there something in your life that you don't want to look at? Ooh, and it was kind of interesting to look at it in that way.
So what'd you come up with?
I mean, sure, but I think that that's always there. You know, there's stuff in your life that you don't, but I wasn't sure why now all of a sudden. And so, yeah, it was kind of interesting.
So that's interesting. So my acupuncturist said I have weak kidneys and liver meridian energy, right?
Uh-huh.
So he's kind of giving me things that I'm supposed to do to help that along. So that was interesting. So what emotions did you say were related to the kidneys?
Anger. Is that what he said? No, that was liver.
That was liver.
Kidneys are fear, anxiety, and stress. Liver is anger, frustration, jealousy, envy, things like that.
Oh, and what about the bladder?
So the bladder is more of an empty organ, and those are connected with the, for example, the spleen, pancreas, and stomach are all connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kidneys and bladder are connected. Mm. So a solid organ is connected to a more hollow organ. So the kidneys and bladder are kind of the same deal.
Okay. So we've been talking with Doug Hilton. He is an EMDR specialist and wrote the book EMDR and the Universal Healing Tao. We're so wonderful. We only have a few minutes left. So can you just, if there's anything else that you feel like you wanted to touch upon, let us know.
Oh, sure. Just a couple of quick things. One is that some people, when they hear spiritual, they think religious. And we wouldn't call Taoism a religious practice. I think that's part of the benefit of it for some people. For example, with addictions, some people have had bad experiences. They don't want to hear about religion. But you don't need to adopt a particular religion or set of beliefs to be able to benefit from Taoism.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I could say is that the practice that we've developed is probably a lot simpler than traditional EMDR. We don't have the setup questions. We don't have the preliminary exercises. So most people can learn this practice if they do it with me. They've got the pretty good idea how this works within at least one session.
Well, that's fabulous.
Awesome. That's awesome. Okay, again, talking with Doug Hilton, and he's talking about his book. Where can people find the book, Doug?
It's all over the place, actually. You can get it on Amazon. It's on iBooks and iTunes, Barnes & Noble, Chapters here in Canada.
Okay.
If you just Google the title, you'll see there's quite a few places that you can get it.
EMDR.
Hard copy and online.
Oh, nice. EMDR and the Universal Healing Tao. I'm so glad that I found you. This is fascinating. I can't wait to try to practice
this. Yes, me too.
Absolutely. So you've been so wonderful. Thank you so much for being our guest on our show. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, super fun, and have a good holiday.
You as well.
Thank you. Wow, that was awesome.
So cool.
So next week,
we are off. But the following week, we have Mel Schwartz, and it's called The Possibility Principle. It's about physics and love, and should be very interesting.
Very interesting. Are you going anywhere for the...
We were going to go to Santa Barbara, but then the fires happened.
Oh.
So now we're going to go to Arrowhead.
Oh, it'd be lovely up there.
Exactly.
That'll be very nice. You might even get some snow.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not thrilled about that, but my kids will be.
And I will be nursing myself in Santa Fe.
You are going to go? That's great.
Yes, yes,
oh, fabulous.
Yes, we are going because Prowler's doing remarkably.
So good.
We have a great cat sitter who adores the cats, and they love her too. So it's awesome. Yay.
So
all right. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. We'll see you guys in a few weeks.
In 2018.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.